As we welcome to the program our friend Sean Latch from the Versant Power Astronomy Center and the Jordan Planetarium at the University of Maine. Sean, welcome.
Great to be back.
Nice to have you here in studio with us on this rare sunny summer day in Maine.
I was going to say, I was starting to worry about, you know, seeing the sun or stars. Yeah. Lately, it's been a little bit difficult to do that.
Apparently, the key was getting Carrie out of town.
Ah, maybe, maybe. Though it does make it a little more lonely.
It does. Absolutely. But yeah, it's. We were chatting before we came on the air here that there is no slow season for you or the Versant Power Astronomy Center.
Lately, this spring in particular and early summer has been really packed. From, you know, of course, the Eclipse Project and getting ready for next year's Eclipse to a couple conferences. And then, you know, we're getting ready to host a visitor from Italy as part of this international exchange program, which is really kind of fun. So,
yeah, that's very exciting. And you want to talk about it? You got some special programs to go along with that with your visitor.
Yeah. So back in 2017, I got selected to be an American operator in Italy, they called it, where basically I went over to Italy and taught in three different planetariums for about 10 days or so. And was a really great experience, a cultural exchange. And loved it, you know, of course, and was really special. And so I got asked this year if I was willing to host a visitor from Italy as part of the international operator in the U.S. And I was thrilled to do so. So we're going to be hosting Elena Lazzaretto. She's from the Padua Planetarium, which is, of course, Galileo's sort of town where he did most of his major discoveries. But she'll be here. She's going to arrive. And on the 7th and the 14th, she'll be doing a special program called Discover the Sky with Galileo at our 2 o'clock matinees those two Fridays, where you'll get to learn a little bit about how Galileo used the telescope to make the initial discoveries that really helped displace us from the center of the universe, as people used to think we were. We're also going to be doing a special evening program on the 14th at 7 p.m. called From Galileo to JWST, Uncovering the Universe. And this is basically taking a look at how telescopes, starting with Galileo, reshaped the way that we look at the universe, the way we understand our place in it. And it's also going to include the first year anniversary release from the James Webb Space Telescope, because that week they're set to do a one-year anniversary release. It's hard to believe that, yeah. You know, a year ago we were talking about their first images and, you know, what it may be. And again, they're being, you know, very quiet about it, but we won't find out till then, but it should be kind of cool. So we'll talk about that in that program as well. So a couple of very special programs. I encourage folks to get tickets early, because I have a feeling those programs will sell out. And given she's here for a limited time, it's not something we can do again. So do try and do that. And I think it's going to be really wonderful. You know, when I went to Italy, of course, the folks just... it was a really incredible time between the food, the wine, the, you know, teaching astronomy and seeing some really historic sites. I went to a town there that's kind of known as the Sundial Town, and it was really amazing. I mean, there were literally hundreds of sundials. Almost every house, every public building had sundials. It was just incredible, and all different types of sundials, because there's multiple different types. And so, you know, it's always interesting when you do these cultural things. I really think that it, you know, travel and you know, cultural exchange broadens one's perspective and really helps us understand that, you know, we're all in this little ball together and need to be a little kinder to each other when we can.
Well, and I don't know that there's another field beyond science where you see as much international cooperation.
Yeah, I mean, astronomy, of course, you know, a lot of folks often call it the first science, because people have always looked up for navigation, timekeeping, agriculture, all those things. But people have always collaborated on it. And yeah, science is one of those fields that generally there's quite a bit of collaboration across, you know, the science disciplines and things like that. It's one of the areas that we seem to be able to work together, at least most of the time.
Tonight you've got the last June show coming up.
Yeah, we have Habitat Earth tonight at 7 o'clock, which takes a look at how our globe is connected in terms of ecology. Everything from, you know, plants and fungi all the way to animals, fish, and humans, and, you know, in our atmosphere and oceans. So basically how we live in a very connected world. So that program, that'll be the final showing of that show tonight at 7 o'clock. Then our regular Friday night program in the month of July is going to be Astronaut, which takes a look at what it takes to be an astronaut, some of the the training required, some of the dangers, and sort of what happens to your body in space. So we'll be doing that for our 7 p.m. show Friday nights, other than the 14th. And then our Sunday afternoon children's program is 3-2-1 liftoff. You join Elon the hamster and robot 8 of 12, which is a robot that falls from space, and Elon has to figure out how to get her back up into space, and basically has to learn the basics of rocket science. So it's really fun for the kids and families, a great program. And then, of course, our special music program is a brand new 50th anniversary edition of Dark Side of the Moon. Hard to believe, 1973, yeah. When Dark Side was originally released. I was 3 years old then. Planetariums have always done Dark Side. We love that show. It's kind of a classic thing, particularly in the month of July, when you have all things moon. So that show will show every Sunday at 4 p.m. Again, that's one that tickets are going very fast. So if you're interested in seeing that special show, was produced from the National Space Center over in London in cooperation with members of the band. So again, really something cool to see. Brand new visuals, and really stunning. And it will be for a limited run. So do come out and check that out.
And you've got all throughout the month of July summer matinee shows every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Yeah, and with changing titles. So that's one of those things that we always have new titles each week, and something special. And I always say watch the titles, because we'll even have a show on Monday the 3rd. But we have programs that are geared in some cases for families, in some cases general audience. So there's always something to kind of change it up if you miss some of the shows throughout the year, or through the seasons. You can always come and check out some of those matinees too.
Excellent. Sean Latch here from the Versant Power Astronomy Center and the Jordan Planetarium. Up in the skies this month, right about now, Venus and Mars in the morning, and then a little later in the month, Saturn and Jupiter will become more visible.
We have Venus in the evening sky, but it's getting close. Yeah, evening, and Mars sort of sinking into twilight, you might say, right now. But then also Jupiter, Saturn rises around 11 p.m. and Jupiter rises around 1 a.m., Saturn around 11 p.m. at night. So those are just sort of right near midnight. We're starting to get those planets back in our sky. And Mercury very low early in the month in the western sky at sunset. But yeah, we do have some planets visible there. Really, our next big meteor shower that's coming up is the Perseids in August. And this year, assuming we don't rain, this year is actually going to be a really good year for the Perseids compared to many times when the moon phase is, kind of near full or whatever. This one's going to be very near a new moon. So the Perseid meteor shower this year should be really spectacular, assuming we can get some clear skies. I tell you, that's been one of the biggest things right now is it's kind of hard to do any stargazing. I mean, I'm really thankful we have the planetarium. We can recreate the sky there, but I do miss seeing the real sky. So hoping we'll have some clear weather here soon.
We're getting all the bad weather out of our system now, so it'll be great in mid to late July and all of August. That's my thought.
That's my hope anyway, too, yeah.
What is going on, Sean, with the sun? What's up with these solar storms, and how could it have a pretty major impact on the internet?
Yeah, so every once in a while, I mean, these solar storms, they can knock out satellites that provide internet service. They really are a danger to, basically all of our satellite fleet, depending on how severe they are, and our astronauts who are on board, the space stations and things like that. So, but the sun, typically has an 11-year cycle. We're getting closer to a max again, a solar maximum, and we're seeing more storms ramp up. In fact, there was a sunspot. I think it's, considered right now that's visible that is about roughly three times the size of planet Earth. So if you have like the solar eclipse glasses, you can see it with those without any magnification, which is pretty incredible. There's a lot of solar activity going on, and some of that has led to some really nice aurora. Again, we've been cloudy during those, as well as things. It's kind of, people always ask me about aurora, and yes, we do get them here in Maine. It's just the last several times, unfortunately, we've been clouded out for them. But we can get some good aurora, but they can affect, communications, cell phone communications too. I do remember back in, I want to say it was 2001 or 2002, there was a really big storm, and for about half a day, it knocked out most cell phone service. It definitely can affect things. The solar radiation, of course, there's always solar wind streaming out from the sun that's always impacting the Earth, and our magnetic field deflects most of that. But if there's a really big storm, it can push that magnetic field closer to us, and some of the material can get through. And like I say, it can affect satellites and astronauts and things like that.
Well, we've got the clouds and the rain. I guess it could be worse, and we could be dealing with the smoke from the fires.
I know, and the amazing views that, you know, NASA has had of this is really incredible. I mean, you know, we forest fires, of course, we've seen a great increase in those given the climate activity that's going on and the change in the climate. But we're able at least to monitor it from space, which has been helpful at least in giving people warnings. Hey, your air quality is going to be bad, so stay inside. I know folks in Chicago the other day were told to stay inside. And at this last conference I was at, caught up with some of the folks that I know from the New York and New Jersey area. And some of the pictures they have of downtown, I mean, it looks orange. It almost looks like something out of, some of the movies that you see, like Blade Runner and that, where you have this orange sky and it's like, ooh, I don't know. but yeah, so hopefully those, I'm really hoping that the fires will calm down up there soon. And hope that, the Canadians can deal with it. It's tough. I know we've had, out west, we've had huge fires too, but it really can impact. And that's one of the things too, when we get the next lunar eclipse, which is going to be a ways out, 2025, it'll be interesting to see if there's still that much, a lot of the times that will color the color of the moon during the lunar eclipses comes from that. So, kind of interesting to see too.
Yeah. Have you locked in any more of the plans for the viewing of the solar eclipse next year?
So we're very close right now. The plan is, and we're trying to get everything officially locked down, and hopefully in the next week or two. It looks like my plan and all of our grad students are going to be in Jackman, Maine. So Jackman is right tight on the center line. Holton is very close, but this is Jackman's a little tighter to the center line. We'll get a little bit better timing there. And again, for this NASA solar eclipse project, we really want to be tight to that center line. So I've been working with one of the town managers there, and I'm supposed to have a meeting with their selectman coming up here. I believe it is actually the 10th or so of July, talking with them about, some plans for it. We're exploring options for where we want to be and making sure that they have all the resources there in terms of, restrooms and food and all that kind of stuff. Because these things, I mean, they tend to get very well attended. Back in 2017 out in the Montana area and Idaho, some of those states doubled their population for the eclipse itself. Mm. Because again, they're really spectacular. I don't think Maine will have that same problem in terms of that, because, our weather prospects are not as good as they are, like, let's say, in Texas or Mexico. But a lot of people from our state will probably try to get to those places. Mm. So those places, any place that's in that path is going to be very busy on those dates.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to keeping up with the plans as we get closer to next April. Sean Latch, Burson Power Astronomy Center and the Jordan Planetarium. Great to see you, as always.
Great to see you.
Have a good Independence Day and enjoy
you
your
too.
Visitor from Italy.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Excellent. We'll catch up with you before August rolls around.
Sounds great.
Sean Latch with us here on Downtown. We're at 17 after 4 o'clock on this Friday afternoon.